Well, thank you again, Mr. Toler. There's actually a couple things I forgot to announce. If anybody going to the feast this year needs festival assistance, we have the forms, so just get with myself or Bill Hildebrand, and we can get you taken care of on that. So, I don't know when the deadline is. I didn't see it, but I'm sure it's coming up quite soon. So just get with us on that. And also, how many of you remember Mr. and Mrs. Don and Elsie Hooser? A few of you do. Okay. Well, he was our pastor in 1972 through 74. And I had an opportunity to talk to him down there. And he wants to pass his and her hellos on to everybody. They miss everybody and love to see you all again. She wasn't there. She has been sick. And he said that she was doing better, but he did pass on his hellos to everybody. And again, we'd like to see everybody. Well, now, there was a truck driver. He sat down to eat in one of these all-night restaurants, and the waitress had just served him his meal. Good meal, no problem. He was ready to eat. About that time, three rough guys, I should say, riding Harleys. They showed up, and they swaggered into the diner. One of them grabbed a man's hamburger. Another one took a fistful of French fries. And the third one picked up his coffee and began to drink it. So they had their way. The truck driver responded with great patience. He calmly got up from the table. He picked up his check, and he walked up to the front of the restaurant where the cash register was, and he put his money on there. And then he headed out the door, calm and cool. The waitress, she watched as this big truck rolled on out of the parking lot and down the highway, just watched in amazement at what just happened in her restaurant. When she returned back to the area where he was sitting, one of the bikers looked at her and said, "Man, he sure wasn't much of a man." She replied, "No, he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles in the parking lot." this month, as I said in announcements, our roundtable discussion is on patience, the fourth fruit of the Spirit. Patience. Now, I confess that I struggle with this topic. Not the topic. I have no problem with the topic. It's just living it. I have a little problem living it. I'm not what you would call the most patient person. I'm sure Debbie and my kids could attest to that. Maybe my mom and dad even. But patience is tough. And I'm sure all of us, at times, our patience does wear a little thin. I'm sure that you, a lot like me, you know, we're kind of wired for action. You know, you see something, you want to jump in, you want to get it done. You want to just go head on, fast and furious. And that's not always the best thing to do. You know, we just finished Days of Unleavened Bread, Passover, and this season. And the biggest part of that was to do self-examination. And for me, when I do a self-examination, and I take a look at my heart, and I do an inventory, which we should all do, I have to say, a lot of my sins come from the lack of patience. And I'm not asking for a show of hands. I don't want to see a show of hands, but I can't imagine that that's a whole lot different for everybody else. Patience is tough. And while I might not drive over motorcycles, I have to admit, sometimes I would like to. So, just think, it feels so good. No, that's not God's answer. But today I'd like to talk about patience and how traveling down the road of impatience will almost always lead to spiritual disaster. One way or another, it will almost always lead to spiritual disaster. Now, we go back and we think about last month in our roundtable discussion group, we talked about the fruit of peace. And we established that we cannot experience this Christian characteristic or this trait of God, if you will, and have peace until we understand and fully believe and accept that this peace only leads to a peace of God, the God that God has, that peace. We have to come to that understanding that this peace that we want, that we need, it comes from God. And that's no different than this patience that we have to have, that we need. It comes from God. So when you think about it, if we take last month's topic of peace, and we want to do an emphasis on what peace was, and we want to summarize it, we could call it conflict revolution skills. That's what peace is. It's the opposite, you know, peace, conflict. Well, then we can take this month, patience, and our theme here could be anger management, because that's kind of the opposite. If we don't have peace, we have anger. So as we've been studying through this series of the fruits of the Spirit, I think by now, being on the fourth one now, we've started to come to the understanding that all these fruits are interrelated, and one works and builds and helps on another one. They go together. When we have peace, it truly demonstrates patience. And we see that patience is a necessary prerequisite for what comes next, what we just left. They all work together. So if you will, let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll take a look at this quickly. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, as King James Version says, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit can only come from the Holy Spirit of God working in our individual lives. Only as we are filled with the Spirit of God and we work to allow this Spirit to grow in our lives, in us, and of course, we have to stay connected to the vine. And only then will we be able to know and experience true godly patience. But it takes all this working together in our lives. And it's not something that just happens overnight. It's a process. But all of Christianity is a process. We can't just wake up one morning and say, okay, today I'm a Christian and I've got it down and I'm going to do everything right. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. But just as we can't manufacture the love and the joy and the peace on our own, we certainly can't pretend to have patience when we don't. Because patience is one of those things that it will rear its ugly head at the worst possible time. And all of your friends that you thought you had convinced that you were a patient person, they see the truth. It comes out. But we can work hard to develop and to grow it in our lives. And that's what we should do. We have to. I want to give you a definition here of patience and kind of a biblical definition. It says, patience is that calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. And that is absolutely the truth. That is a point, or we come to a point in our lives that we all know without a doubt, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what's happening, that God is in control. And when we come to that point in our life, that is a part of growing spiritually, you know, faithfully, of course. And we're not all at that level. We're all at different levels. And that's fine, because God doesn't want everybody to be the same. He wants us all to grow and move and go to perfection. But sometimes we all have a different path in our life that we're going down to get to that perfection. And it takes us a little longer. We have to iron out a few more bumps in the road. But that's what we do. The point is When I read this, patience is that calm endurance. Endurance. That means keep going. It's going to be tough. Trials, tribulations, keep going. Endurance, based on the certainty that God is in control. Again, it's not easy to be patient. There are several reasons that patience goes against the natural person. I want to share just a couple of them with you here. At least two reasons here why patience is so rare in today's society. Number one, patience goes against human nature. Now, we're trying as children of God to fight against human nature, but the world doesn't. They have no problem with human nature. Patience goes against human nature. Think about this. You know, from the very moment that we were born, we wanted things taken care of right away. Now. We didn't want to wait. You know, when a baby wakes up in the middle of the night, it's hungry or it has a wet diaper. That baby doesn't lay there at 2 months old and think, Mom and Dad had a rough day. They're tired. They're sleeping. I'm going to be all right. I'll wait until in the morning when they wake up. That baby starts screaming at the top of its lungs, and it won't quit until Mom or Dad comes in and picks it up and takes care of it. That baby's not going to quit. That baby has not learned patience. Some of us are much, much older than the 2 year or the 2 month old, and we're still trying to learn patience. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, patience is a lifelong project. We'll always need to learn patience. And number two, patience is contrary to our culture. Not too much unlike the first one. Patience is contrary, you know, to our culture. Just think about this. When you leave here today, you will see signs of impatience. Number one, if you pass any fast food restaurant, the name in itself talks about impatience. It's fast food. Now, if that wasn't good enough to be a fast food restaurant, we now put in a drive-thru. So you can just quickly go up and get, don't even have to get your car. Just go up to the window, get your food, and go. But that wasn't good enough. So some restaurants have put in a double drive-thru. And I think this is so amazing. If you've ever been in one of them, because you pull up there and who ordered first? Who ordered second? Do I go in front of this guy? Does he go in front of me? It's a patience thing. Who's going to go first? They have it worked out. But anyone who has traveled to other countries outside the United States, they see pretty quickly that Americans were wound pretty tight. You know, again, this goes back to thinking about, and I'm sure we've witnessed this. We've probably never experienced this. But we've witnessed seeing somebody at a traffic light and their car has stalled. And they're trying desperately to get that thing to start about the time the light turns green. You know, by this time, there's cars backed up behind you, and they're starting to honk their horn, rev their engines. I'm sure we've all seen this. Well, this guy had a solution. This happened to him, so he said, well, he got out of his car, and he walked back to the car behind him. And he said, okay. I've tried for 3 minutes to get my car started, and I appreciate you encouraging me. Now you go up and you try to start my car, and I'll sit here and honk the horn for you. Well, patience. Patience is tough. It's a hard thing. It's one of the hardest Christian characteristics to develop. Patience is hard to develop. It's a quality that God has, and when you go back and look at the life of Jesus Christ, just his ministry here on the earth. Look at the patience he displayed when they were beating him, when they were ridiculing him, slapping him, spitting on him. He had patience. He didn't lash out. He made a comment. He said, at any time I can call my Father to send down legions of angels to fight his battles. He had patience. He knew the plan. We know the plan. Do we have patience to hang in there and do what has to be done until the plan is fully developed? I hope we do. A lot of times, the lack of patience is founded by a feeling of unbelief. And now I know we're starting to meddle. But that's what it is. A lot of times when we have patience, it goes to some degree of unbelief. That feeling is what we start to have when we begin to doubt the wisdom of God's timing. We start to doubt the love of His guidance. How many of us, and I know we all are ready for this to be over. We're ready for Christ to return. Well, are we? We want to be. We want to be able to say yes. But is there something in our life that we're missing? Is there something that we're lacking in? And it's okay to be missing something and lacking in something if we are working on it, if we're aware of it and we're trying to build and grow. It's not okay if we know about it and we throw it out and hope that, keep it away, I won't have to deal with it. Unfortunately, too many people are like that, and we get frustrated. It's kind of like sitting, you know, behind the wheel of a car, and you absolutely can't go anywhere. You think you're ready, but it just won't go. Unfortunately, anger builds. Anger builds, and then we blow up at everyone around us. You see how this lack of patience starts to influence others? It starts to grow. It starts to build things, build on this. We blow up at everybody. We erupt anywhere at any time. It may be something as simple as standing in the grocery line, and three or four or five people in front of you, and the lady running the cash register types something in wrong, and she has to redo the whole order again. We've all been there. We've all seen this. It could be anything like facing health problems. We've all had issues in time past. It could be stress on the job. What about family issues? One of the biggest. All these are things that try our patience. It boils down to two choices. Two choices. We can choose to wait for God to develop this patience that He talks to us about, to develop the faith that goes along with that patience and not give up instead of bailing out. That's what we can choose to do, and that's what we should choose to do. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here, and then we'll come to the other one. Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and verse 14. This is what we're told to do. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I think it's very, very interesting that He says, wait on the Lord, and then He says, be of good courage. That says that it's not going to be easy. Waiting on the Lord is not going to be easy. When you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read the first half of the New Testament, you see, even up through Hebrews, you see all these people, apostles, disciples of God, that at first were impatient. They waited. They wanted God to return. They wanted Christ to return. They wanted to return now, now, now. And then they finally realized it's not the right time. They grew in patience. The very same thing that we have to do. It says, be of good courage, because a lot will come your way in your life, and you'll have to deal with a lot patiently, and you will have to bring it before God. And at His time, things will be worked out. He will take care of it. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Those who have patience, their strength will be renewed. That's what he's telling us here. When he uses these examples, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's an analogy of strength and endurance and protection. They will run and not grow weary. Again, it goes back to the strength. God will give us the strength that we need with the godly patience that we are developing. Should they will walk and not be faint. We can also determine the other two options that we have. We can also determine to walk like God in His examples. And really, we should take both of these and put them together. Go to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. This tells us how we should walk as children of God. Micah 6 verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? This is what He requires of each and every one of us. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These are the examples that Jesus Christ set for us. These are the examples that a lot of His disciples down through time had set. These are the examples that we should live in our life. All this works to growing and developing patience. So instead of being reckless or impulsive in living our lives and doing our own thing, which is, you know, we tend to do that from time to time, we need to understand that the fruits of patience will absolutely help us trust God in His timing and His purpose and absolutely everything that He has in store for us. It's about patience. In short, the key to having patience is to hold on to God in all aspects of our life. And then slow down when He says slow down and go as He guides us. It boils down to putting God first, allowing God to control our life. Go to Luke chapter 21. I want to read several verses here. Luke 21, starting in verse 10. We'll go to 10 down through 19. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost." Verse 19, "By standing firm, you will gain life." This whole section of Scripture is about that very last statement, standing firm. And the only way that we can stand firm is having the patience, as we said before, to endure. We have to have the patience to endure. We have to understand and allow God to be in control of our life. Because if we try to do it ourselves, we will fail miserably. We will get so far, and that will be as far as we can go. Whenever God is in charge, miracles happen. He does wonderful things. And if we will consciously get out of our way long enough to allow God to take over, He will change our life. He says here, as a Christian, We may have to go through some pretty tough times. A lot of us have already been through some tough times. But it's not over. It's not over until Christ returns and the kingdom is established here on earth. But leading up to that point, we have to face some things. He tells us here, he has answers for us. He says, you know, when he says, don't worry about what to say, that doesn't by any means mean don't study, because he wants us to study. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to be conscious of what's going on, knowing what's coming. But don't worry about it. Study as much as we possibly can. Grow as much as we possibly can. And if we show that kind of faithfulness to God, he will show his faithfulness to us. He says right here, you know, when it comes time, I will give you the answers. Then he says here, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. In other words, if you stay faithful, you won't fall away. By standing firm, you will gain life. That's eternal life. We may all, well, it's appointed for one, a man wants to die. We all will face the physical death, and that's fine. But we're talking about eternal life, forever. Patience is completely, 100% living a godly life as much as we possibly can. And if we come up short, we acknowledge it, we fix it, and we move forward. That's what it's about. We want to bear the fruits that God has given us. Go back to Psalms chapter 130, if you will. Psalms chapter 130. This helps us to see the correlation between the promises of God and the patience of God's people. Psalms 130, verses 5 and 6. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Using the term here, waiting on the Lord, throughout the Old Testament, is another way to say building patience. That's what he's saying here. He's building patience for God. We have to build patience for God. It's definitely the opposite of giving up. When we decide to wait, we decide to build this patience that God requires of us. It goes totally against giving up. When we give up, we give in to impatience. And we stand a chance of going back to verse 19, where we are not standing firm, and therefore we will not gain life. We don't want to even come close to that. So, as not to come close to that, we have to do what it takes to gain life. When we wait for Christ, we don't bail out on him when the going gets tough. We don't refuse to run ahead when he says, let's move. Patience is staying at our appointed place, wherever that is, when God says, stay. When God says, this is it, then that's where we need to be. But it also is understanding that when he says it's time to pick the pace up and it's time to get moving, then we do it. We pick the pace up and we get moving, no matter how hard it is. And it will be hard. What we see here in Psalms that we just read, it talks about, you know, waiting for the watchman, wait for the morning. What you have to understand is back in the biblical times, that's what they did. These watchmen were very vigilant about guarding the city during the night, looking for enemies who might attack. But they were patient. They were patient in doing what they did best. And it's the same thing for us. We have an enemy, a very vigilant enemy, that wants to attack us, wants to kill us. We have to have the patience to see him coming, the patience to rely on God for the answers, to know what to do next. The encouraging thing is that when we start to feel like giving up, and we've all been there once or twice, or when we find ourselves wanting to take matters in our own hands, I guarantee we've all tried to do that once or twice. That is when that we should hold tight to the hope that we know God has for us, the hope that comes through God's Word. We need to read it, memorize it, meditate on it, and above all, live it. That's what we have to do. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 4. Now, this is taken from the Living Bible. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "These things that were written in the Scriptures so long ago are to teach us patience and to encourage us." They're to teach us patience and encourage us. Remember the watchman. There's a reason that they needed patience. There's a reason that we need patience. A watchman couldn't control the rising sun. He had to be patient throughout the long hours of the night, knowing that the adversary was out there. He had to be patient and vigilant to watch, to see, and we have to do the same thing. Sometimes we might find it hard to wait for God. We might find it hard to understand what He wants for us. But what's even worse than finding it hard to wait for God is looking back and wishing that we had. So now's the time to make sure we never face that part. As the pressure of this physical life pushes against each and every one of us, and it does, we could be tempted to give up. We could be tempted to say, like a lot of people did in times past, say that, you know, this whole thing's taking too long. God's not coming back. You start rationalizing things in your mind, things that are untrue. To go ahead and try to do things on our own without God is a mistake. It might look good now, and we might have limited success, but without God, we will fail. So we have to understand that we need God in every aspect of our life, and patience is one of them. The nation of Israel, they understood that, but they didn't follow it. They want to take matters in their own hands. Now, I want to just look at a little bit of a few examples from them. So if you will, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. You know, during Isaiah's time here, there was powerful enemies like Assyria. They threatened Israel. They wanted to wipe Israel out. They wanted to take over. The people of God lived in fear in this mighty nation. And one of Isaiah's jobs was to help them to do the right thing and help them to respond correctly. The problem was, Israel became very impatient. Israel got tired of waiting. How many times down through biblical history have we seen nations and people get tired of waiting? They get tired of waiting. They decide to do their own thing. And it doesn't work. Instead of resting, Israel, they ran. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. "Woe to the obstinate child or children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge." Because of their lack of patience, God's people, they decided that they could do it for themselves. They decided, and these were God's people, no different than us today. They decided that God was taking too long. Maybe their plan would be just as good as God's. That's what they decided. Kind of goes back to lack of patience breeds unbelief, or definitely misunderstanding. But as a result here, God, he calls them right there. We see right in the very first verse, it says, obstinate children. He called them this because they did not allow God's Spirit to lead them and guide them. They ran out of patience. He graphically goes on to describe them as impatient and heaping sin upon sin. Is that what we're doing in our lives? Are we impatient and are we heaping sin upon sin? Unfortunately, this happens to a lot of us in our lives. We very willingly wait and persevere for a while, maybe for a long while, maybe for 30, 40, even 50 years. And then we decide that I'm tired. I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's when Satan smiles, because he knows he endured. He won. We have to be the one enduring. The key phrase here in Isaiah 30 is, he says, without consulting me, God, without consulting God. They didn't go to God and they didn't ask for guidance. They decided to do it on their own. And this is a good description of the impetuous side of impatience. That's what it's saying here. We don't like waiting to do what we think is right. And it will get us in trouble. God tells them that their impatience is going to backfire. And it's the same warning he gives all of us. Go down to verse 3. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. He tells them, it's going to backfire. It's not what you think it is. A study had showed the annual cost of running red lights. They have a study for absolutely everything. And red lights. Now, this is only taking, this dollar figure I'm going to give you, is only taken in the study considering medical bills, because when you run a red light, there's a good chance there's going to be a medical bill. And car repairs, which again, go hand in hand. $7 billion annually for running red lights. $7 billion. And for all of the hurry and rushing around that we all get in, lack of patience, the average amount of time saved by running red lights was 50 seconds. 50 seconds. And this comes from Hope Health Letter. Now, this was February of 1996. How much more has it changed? I didn't do an updated. I thought that was that was staggering enough. It's amazing. It absolutely never pays to run, not just through red lights or stop signs, but through God's red lights and God's stop signs. When God says, wait, we better wait. When he says, think about this or ask him, then we better do it. Because $7 billion is nothing. I'm sure that's more than all of us, at least most of us have. But that's nothing. Because if we run through God's stop signs and God's red lights, and we don't pay attention to what God says, the damage will cost us our life, our eternal life. That's the difference. Unfortunately, Israel found out the hard way. And we should learn from their mistakes. We should learn that we don't have to find out the hard way. Not every time. Yeah, we're going to make misjudgments and do things we probably shouldn't. But on the big things, have patience. Ask God. Ask for guidance and deliverance. Talk to people who's been through this experience. That's, again, another example that God uses. So what should Israel have done? We'll go down to verse 18. Verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. By developing patience and practice, this is what they should have done. Developed patience and practiced that very patience. By doing that, God wants to bless them and he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us through his mercy, his grace, and his compassion. He says right here, he promises to bless those who practice patience. And that's encouraging because, again, we all struggle with that from time to time. But we should remember that when we're tempted, you know, to give up, when we're tempted to take matters in our own hands, think about this. Israel went through it. There's a number of examples of God's people who went through it. We probably have gone through it at certain times in our past. Think about it. Israel missed out on God's blessings, and they were shamed, and they were humiliated simply because they didn't practice patience. Now, I mean, there's a lot to it, but that's what it boils down to. They didn't wait on God. When God said wait, and then he says ask him, they didn't do this. And because of that, they were humiliated. We can learn from their examples. Brother, we have to fight, and it is a struggle, but we have to fight and we have to win this battle of what is unbelief and turn it into godly patience. Our belief should go into him and what he says. And we have to work hard to persuade our hearts. That goes back to that self-examination of the heart. We have to work hard to persuade our hearts that God's timing is absolutely 100% always right, no matter what. And that's the end of it. Let's notice an encouraging scripture here to support this thought. We're in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Read this from the King James Version. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. We've seen a lot of good things in our life. We've experienced a lot of good things. We've seen God's blessings. But we don't have a clue what God has in store for us, the blessings and the wonderful, the greatness of his mercy and grace and compassion for those who willingly, patiently wait and look to him for guidance and understanding, who are willing to, at all costs, live his way of life. That's what he's telling us here. One side of developing patience is to work extremely hard at waiting on God. And that's probably one of the hardest things to do. Another aspect of this, seeing this fruit ripen in our lives, is in Colossians. We can find it in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. Here we're told to clothe ourselves with patience, among other things, but we're focusing on patience. A big part of good spiritual hygiene has to do with controlling our temper. It kind of gets back down to that. In order to absorb nuisances or manage annoyances, and absolutely to positively deal with those who bug us, and we all have them. I mean, not everybody gets along. But we need to clothe ourselves with patience. Because we might think somebody bugs us, but who do we bug? Put the shoe on the other foot. When Paul described life outside of this aspect of God's way of living, he often describes life full of anger and hostility. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We'll read verse 20. Actually, I want to read verses 20 and 21. The fruit of patience is in direct contrast to the acts of what we're about to read here. This is the sinful nature of humans. Galatians 5, verses 20 and 21. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty cut and dry. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we don't completely submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and God the Father on a daily basis, then it doesn't take long in somebody's life, in a person's life, to start bearing these kind of fruits. And these are not the fruits that we want to bear. Once we just read in Galatians 5:20 and 21, what we want to do is everything in our power to bear the fruits in verses 22 and 23. We have to take off any wrong anger. And I did say wrong anger because all anger is not wrong. But we want to take off any wrong anger and put on compassion, put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and above all, patience. We want to put this on. Patience, you know, it's a complex word in the Bible. A man by the name of Miles Coverdale, he was an English ecclesiastical reformer, and he was primarily known for Bible translations, and he would translate the Bible in different aspects of it. When he translated the Bible into English, he did this in 1535. He had to make up or invent the word long-suffering. Long-suffering, because he wanted to describe the Greek phrase found here in Galatians 5:22. And he wanted to describe it as accurate as possible. And it was such a good rendering that the translator of the King James Version, they kept the same word. In 1611, whenever they published the Bible, long-suffering. A patient person with the ability to suffer for a long time. Let me read that again. Long-suffering. A patient person with the ability to suffer a long time. We don't know how long a long time is. That's between God and the person suffering. It's up to God. Let's notice what Proverbs says about patience. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14 and verse 29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spiritual, he is hasty of spirit exalts folly." Now I want to read that same thing to you from the, I wrote that translation down. I got it here somewhere. Let me find it. It's a different translation. It's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's not a translation I use a lot, but for some verses, it's interesting, the comparison. It says, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." Again, saying the same thing, but a little more to what we're understanding about patience. It's wise to be patient, that's what they're saying here, but it's foolish to be hot-tempered. If we act or react before we take the time to think things through, and a lot of times it gets us in trouble. The Greek word for patience, it means, in its very simplest meaning, means to be slow to get angry. Slow to anger. Or it means to have a long fuse and a short memory. Unfortunately, a lot of us have a short fuse and a long memory. You know, God says, once you say, "I'm sorry, I repent," forgive. And forget. It's gone. Move on. Unfortunately, we as human beings, it's a little harder for us to do that. Patience means to have the capacity to accept or tolerate delays, tolerate troubles or suffering without getting angry and upset. And that's where the old saying, "Well, the rubber meets the road." That's the hard part, without getting angry and upset. if we truly allow God's Spirit to control us as it should, then these fits of rage that we are prone to, and I say we all, because we all are prone to it, but these fits of rage, they should be one of the farthest things from us. But not always is that the case. You know, as we've come to understand, though, the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been studying them now for a few months, the fruit of the Spirit's, they're both a gift and they're also a task, which means they are something that God has given us, but we're required to do something with them, required to act on them. These Christ-like qualities, and that's what they are of His character, they come to us as a result of God's mercy and love and His grace, His compassion for us. But how they get used and how they get built, or we build them in our lives, how we allow them or help them to grow in our lives, it's a direct result of the choices that we make. Yes, God has given us these fruits or gifts of the Spirit. What do we do with them? Are we doing using them to promote God? I hope we are. So we're talking now for quite some time about this, and we are going to start to prepare to wind down. But as you know, I like points. So I have five quick points, and they're quick points, that I want to kind of summarize with. And these are five quick scriptural points that will help us to completely, hopefully completely understand that it's important, how important it is to be clothed with patience. Or at least they'll help us to start and maybe even to continue to grow in patience and go that direction. So the first one, number one, is always look at others through the eyes of Christ. Always look at others through the eyes of Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. This is a memory scripture. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Brethren, the next time that we find ourselves following that slow driver down the road, instead of tailgating that person and trying to intimidate them to either pull over or speed up, and I'm sure none of us have done that, let's try to imagine that person driving that car as our parents or our grandparents or our best friend. Let's try to see things through the eyes of Christ. It will make a big difference. I'm going to share with you a short story here. I don't know that there was no title or who wrote it. It said a train was filled with tired people. Most of them have spent the day traveling through the hot, dusty plains, and at last evening had come, and they all tried settling down for a good night's sleep. However, at one end of the car, a man was holding a tiny baby as night came, and the baby became restless and started screaming at the top of its lungs. Now, we can all relate to that. We've seen this and experienced this. Unable to take it any longer, a big, brawly man spoke for the rest of the group. He said, "Why don't you take that baby to its mother?" There was a moment's pause, and then came the reply. "I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. The baby's mother is in the casket in the baggage car in front of us." There was an awkward silence for a couple of minutes. Then the big man, who asked such a cruel question, got out of his seat and he moved towards the man with the motherless child. He apologized for his lack of patience and his insensitivity. He took the tiny baby in his own arms and he told the father to get some sleep. Then in loving patience, he cared for that little baby all through the night. Brethren, we don't always know what someone else is going through or has been going through. We have to look at people through the eyes of Christ. When we do that, we will become more patient and more tolerant and will be much less insensitive to people. Number two, keep in the company of patient people. Anger is contagious. Patience is too. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Anger is contagious. When we get it out, others will pick it up. Proverbs 22. 24 and 25. It says, don't make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. If we can learn how to be angry by hanging out with people that are angry, then we certainly can learn how to be patient with spending time with those who are long-suffering. I use that term because that's more appropriate. Brethren, if anger is a learned behavior, and we see that it is, then we can also learn patience by spending time with people who are patient. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm going to read verses, actually I'm going to read verse 7 through 11. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's talking about endurance. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early rain and the later rain, or you could say until he receives the first fruits and the second coming of Christ or the second resurrection. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. In verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Or the patience of the Lord and the patience of Job are absolutely the examples that we need to live, we need to have in our life. Let's look at number 3. Vent our anger in a godly manner. Vent our anger in a godly manner. You don't have to turn there. It's a short, quick scripture. It's Ephesians 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Simply what it says. In your anger, do not sin. And then it goes on to say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, but in your anger, do not sin. This means that there are right ways and wrong ways to process our anger. It's possible to be angry and not to sin. But we must be very careful that the anger is guided in the proper direction. There are several ways to deal with anger, but they can be summarized by 3 short common ways. And of these 3 ways, really, only one is effective. The first way is suppress anger. We know that's not very effective. That's when we ignore it. We think if we ignore it, it will go away. It will not go away. It will build. We hope it will go away, but it will not. Doctors have determined that the number one cause of a lot of types of depression is suppression, turning anger inward. And that's not what we want to do. It's not healthy. Another one is expressing anger. Expressing anger. You know, a lot of psychologists today, they agree that people have a certain amount of anger in them. I guess we're just a mad society. But that's what they've come up with. And then we have to just dump it. We have to just dump it. Somewhere, sometime, we're going to just dump this anger. And once they get rid of it, by blowing up, you know, everything will be fine. And this is psychological studies. They call this venting. We've all heard of this. We all say, well, I got to go vent. Well, yeah, okay. They also call it primal screaming. We've heard of that too. Well, the biblical answer to this situation or this relief of this situation, it's much different than what the psychologists today have taught. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Talks about this very thing. Now again, I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Again, it says the same thing, just a little bit different. The point's the same. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. How much more do we need to say about that? This is what it says. Then the third area there would be confess our anger. Confess our anger. You know, when we're angry, number one, we have to admit it to ourselves. Now, you probably all have seen Dr. Phil. What's he say? Own it. You have to own it. Well, not that I like to quote Dr. Phil, but he's absolutely right. We have to own it. If we don't own it, we will fall into the suppressing or the expressing. We have to own it. When we own it, then we can deal with it. Let's go to point number four. Prepare for some hard times. Wow. Patience. Prepare for some hard times. Times aren't hard enough? Well, unfortunately, they're going to get harder. And what scripture do we always go to when we talk about hard times? James chapter 1. Look at verse 3. James 1, verse 3. Because we know that the testing of your faith develops patience. The testing of our faith develops patience. There's really no way around this truth, this fact. We learn patience by having, by facing, by dealing with problems and trials. That's what we do. There's a story told about this young Christian becoming a believer. He went to an older believer and he asked him to pray for him. He wanted to be more patient. He said, can you please pray that I will have more patience? And the older believer, a little more seasoned and understanding, he said, absolutely I will. I will ask God for you to have more patience. So he said, join me in prayer. And this is what he prayed. He prayed, he asked God to send this young man tribulations for breakfast, problems for lunch, and suffering for supper. Wow. Would that make you want to just get up and run or want to stay with the faith? Well, the bottom line is, you know, we joke about that, but the bottom line is that's how we are tested, and that's how God knows our faith and knows our patience, knows what we'll do, how we'll handle things. We know that testing of our faith builds patience. Point number five, seek God's help. Seek God's help. You know, patience is the very heart of God's nature. Look at Psalms chapter 148. Psalms 148, or I'm sorry, 145 and verse 8. Psalms 145 and verse 8. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Brethren, we absolutely must take the opportunity every day, every part of every day, to draw closer to God, because the fruit of patience is rooted in Him. And we want to have access to that fruit, that strong foundation. We're all familiar with Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. But it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is the very essence of perseverance or patience. Continue. Don't quit. Don't get tired. God wants to help every one of us in all matters. But we have to understand that. You know, waiting on God with all patience and worshiping Him, it overlaps. It goes hand in hand. Because the very heart of worshiping God, honoring God the way we should, is forgetting about our circumstances and turning the focus to and on God and who God is and what He is doing in the bigger picture. This is also brought about by being content. Being content with what we are learning, with understanding God, with living God's way of life. Being content with what we have. Paul says, I'm content in everywhere, in all situations. Whatever he was in, he found a way to go to God and be content. I think that's an absolutely great example. But I do want to look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We put our Christian life in a proper perspective. We will develop the patience that we need to live every day to the fullest extent. The fullest extent. And that's exactly why God wants us to learn patience. So that we can come to the point in our life that God is all we have. We have a lot. All this is physical. Everything that we have, when we leave here and go home, it's all physical. God truly is all we have. And we have to understand that we know that, we believe that, and that's all we need. That goes back to being content. That's what Paul was referring to when he said he was content in all situations, because he knew where he was with God. He knew where God was with him. To be patient is to be content in God the Father and Jesus Christ and the plan that they have for us and what they've included us in. Let's go to one final scripture in Galatians chapter 5. And we see kind of a final command. Galatians 5 verse 16. This is a challenge laid out for us. It says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is learning patience and being completely, absolutely completely committed to God and God's way of life. I want to close with a very short story, and it's called Patience Pays. Patience Pays. Once, the king had announced that anyone who wanted to be opposed or part of his personal assistance must meet him. Many people gathered in the palace. The king led them to a pond, and he said, whoever will fill this pond's water in this pot will be chosen for the post. But remember, there is a hole in the pot. So some people left without even trying. Some people tried for once or twice, and then they said, the king must already have chosen someone. Let's not waste our time. But one man kept filling the pot with pond water very patiently. He filled the water in his pot from the pond, but always within a few minutes, the water poured out from the pot onto the ground completely. He tried that uncountable number of times. At last, he noticed the pond became empty. The man found a diamond ring in the bottom of the pond, and he picked it up and gave it to the king. At this, the king said, this ring is to you a reward for your patience and your hard work. You are fit for the job. The man confirmed that patience pays. Brethren, let's determine in our life, in our trek as a Christian, that patience pays. Let's wait on God when he says wait, and let's move when he says move. Let's learn patience, and let's put it into practice in our lives. And let's never, ever quit.